Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. And I worship you and praise you and thank you for the great and mighty things you do. Lord, thank you for the Word. Thank you for the miracles and the signs and wonders and things you do. Thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank you, Lord, that you're a faith God. And thank you for showing us how to walk in faith so we can see you do these great and mighty things. And I worship you and praise you and thank you. Now, Lord, as the word goes out today, open people's hearts and minds that they may receive the magnificent word of the living God and they may walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in 1 Peter. We've been teaching in 1 Peter. We're in chapter 4, and we're going to start today in verse 15. 1 Peter 4:15, it says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or a meddler in other men's matters or affairs." So what are we supposed to do as Christians? We are not, none of us are supposed to suffer as a murderer. We're not supposed to murder. Now then, under the new covenant, the law of faith, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder in the spirit world. That's something. It says, or as a thief. In other words, you're not supposed to steal. Or as an evildoer. Or a meddler. You're not supposed to be involved in those kind of things as a born-again Christian. Verse 16 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." In other words, there's a lot of people who do suffer as Christians. A lot of people make fun of us. They do lots of strange things. And it's all because they're controlled by the forces of darkness and not by the Spirit of God. So just consider what's going on. It's the spirits of hell that's causing these problems. And don't even let it bother you. Just press on. It says, for verse 17, says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that they shall not the gospel, not hear, obey the gospel of God?" In other words, people that don't obey the gospel of God, what's going to be the consequence? It's going to be bad. It's really going to be bad. And then verse 18 says, "And if the righteous scarcely can be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" That's scary, isn't it? If the righteous scarcely be saved. In other words, we're the righteous, but we're not going to get in over the top. We're just barely going to come in under the blood of Jesus. I'm grateful for the blood of Jesus. So we need to make sure that we're walking holy and walking in obedience to the Word of God. Verse 19 says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Chapter 5 says, "The elder which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Verse 2 says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready man." In other words, feed the flock of God, which is among you. The people, it's amazing that the people have to be so hand-fed. I mean, most people are just like I was most of my life. I spent so little time reading and studying God's Word. And that's why I always had the problems I had. Because I could not receive something by faith that I didn't know was mine. Now I understand exactly why I didn't do any reading and studying. Because every time I would sit down to read or study, the enemy would put me to sleep or he would do something to me. And so therefore, I never gained any ground in the kingdom of God. Or I might be able to come out from church and I wouldn't be able to remember what I had heard in there just a little while ago. Isn't that amazing what the devil does? But you got to get used to what's going on. You're fighting a spiritual battle, so you're going to have to really get in there and do something. And Pastor Richard tells us to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint or compulsion, but willingly, and not for money, but of a willing mind. Now then, there's not anything wrong with pastors being paid. They have to live like everybody else. But don't do it. Don't become a pastor of a church saying, well, I want to do this because that's what I want to do to get my livelihood. No, you need to be called of God to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or an apostle or a prophet or any of those things. You need to be called by God to be one of those. If you're not called by God and you're in that position, I guarantee you won't ever make it. You just won't never do a good job, and you won't never be on fire for Jesus like you should be if you're really called. Then he says here in verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. You are to be an example to the flock. And if you will do that, it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Just think, the consequences are awesome. That if you do what the Lord says, the Lord himself is going to give you a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Wow. A crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. So therefore humble yourselves, therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now then, that's a very difficult thing to do, it appears, for most of us. Cast all of our care on him because he cares for us. I was talking to a young man just yesterday, and he was a doctor, an MD. And we were talking about, do we need doctors in medicine? Well, frankly, I know that most people don't agree with me, but I don't think that if we need doctors, because if we would teach people how to walk by faith, they wouldn't have to have a doctor. Because God's word clearly says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine. Now I realize I'm in an entirely different place than I was just a few years ago. A few years ago, I would have had to have a doctor. Because if something happened to me, I didn't have enough knowledge from God's word to be taken care of. So without doctors and without nurses, we'd be in big trouble because I would have been all those years. So I realized that most people's faith never gets to where my faith level is. I am so grateful that the Lord has raised my faith level to where he has, and that I am now in a position where I can totally trust God for anything that happens to this flesh. Anything. Now then, I've had several experiences over the years that most people would have thought I was crazy. I needed to go to a doctor, but I absolutely refused to go to a doctor. And I've always seen the Lord come through for me. So I'm just telling you that if you get your faith level to the right place, then you don't need a doctor. But you'll only do that if you'll spend a whole lot of time with God. But it can be done. Praise the Lord. I haven't been to a doctor in 20 years. But I wasn't there 30 years ago, I'll tell you. If I didn't have one, I'd have been in trouble. But now, praise the Lord, I have been able to step up there and step into that realm. But when he says there, humble yourselves before and under the hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now the devil is going to be out there to get you. That's all there is to it. But the Lord says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Well, how do you resist the devil? You resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Faith, what does that mean? It means taking the word of God and quoting it to the devil. And when you do that, if you will resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing that this same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So there's nothing new. Everything has been here all the time. And so Solomon clearly said that in his book of the Old Testament, that there's nothing new. And if we will just resist and learn to resist the devil steadfast in faith, I mean, stand your ground against him. Well, most of you may be just like I was for many years of my life. I didn't know what the devil did. I didn't know he's the one that brought pain and suffering and sickness and disease, stealing, killing, and destroying. But when I learned he brought stealing, killing, and destroying, I totally changed the way I did business. Now then, if a pain or a headache or something begin to come up on me, I know where it comes from. And it is not God the Father. It's the enemy. It's the devil. And so I know he's involved in everything that has anything to do with pain or suffering. Death, killing, stealing, and destroying. So if it fits in that category, I rebuke the devil and kick him out now. And I don't have to put up with him no more. Praise the Lord, since I've learned that I have all power and authority over that beast. Now then, it says, humble yourself. We have read that. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Your adversary the devil, Satan himself, he is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's going to devour you. He's been devouring you just like he did me all those years. I didn't know the enemy was devouring me in sickness and disease. I had no idea he was the instigator behind all these things. But when I learned that he's the one that brings pain, sickness, and disease and everything, anytime that beast tries to put any kind of pain, any kind of sickness, any kind of disease upon me, I rebuke him according to the word of God and drive him away. And I've not had one single sick day in 20 years. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us on that cross. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you audio and video teachings, of which we have many, and we'll send them out to you free and postpaid. Also, if you'd like to go to the web, you can find a list of many of our teachings there on our web at www.tlsm. That stands for The Living Savior Ministries.org. Happy to send you those from there. Have a blessed day in Jesus' mighty name.